Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth Podcast. The Wrap It Up, I'll Take It edition. As we look back at Thursday night's 35-30 loss in Cleveland with radio replays, post-game comments, and Dave Lapham's in-depth analysis. The Bengals Booth Podcast is presented by Prime Sport, the official hospitality partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. And here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or Podbean. It's the greatest thing since our radio crew. We called last night's game in Cleveland from the radio booth in Cincinnati. NFL team radio broadcasters are not traveling from city to city this year due to the coronavirus, but we were able to do our jobs thanks to the hard work of our producer, Dave Yitty Armbruster, our engineer, Triple Crown, Ted Ryan, Jungle Vision producer, Scott Simpson, and Chief Marketing Officer, Brian Sells, who made sure we had what we needed from the NFL. I look forward to going on the road again when that's allowed. But in the meantime, we learned last night that it will be possible to do a reasonably good job from long distance. Now, let's get to the game. Last night, in his second NFL start, Joe Burrow did something that Ken Anderson, Boomer Esiason, Carson Palmer, and Andy Dalton never did in a Bengals uniform. He threw the ball more than 60 times in one game. The only Bengals quarterback to top 60 attempts previously was John Kitna, who set the franchise record when he threw 68 in an overtime win over the Steelers. Last night, Burrow threw it 61 times, completing 37 of those throws for 316 yards and the first three touchdown passes of his NFL career.
Cincinnati trailing 14-3. Shotgun snap. Burrow with time. Floats it downfield. Caught at the two by Uzama. And he runs it into the end zone for Joe Burrow's first NFL touchdown pass.
Clock running with 6 minutes to go. Burrow against a blitz. Quick throw. Slant. Caught. Touchdown to Mike Thomas. He got inside of Denzel Ward and hauled in a BB from Joe Burrow. Shotgun snap, four-man rush. Burrow's going to throw it into the end zone. It is caught by Tyler Boyd for a touchdown in the back of the end zone. The third touchdown pass of the night for Joe Burrow in his first NFL primetime game.
Here are Burrow and Zach Taylor on putting the ball in the air 61 times in 88 offensive snaps.
I mean, I was just trying to take what the defense gave me. You know, they were playing from ahead, so they were in their two-deep shell, and they were doing a good job of not letting anything over the top. So, you know, we had to move the ball, so I was just trying to take what they gave me.
Yeah, we felt like we were having a lot of success in the pass game, you know, and we scored on three of our last drives. And so, again, we were down two scores there in the fourth quarter. And this is the same thing that kind of happens to us. You get down and you're throwing the ball and we're having success doing it. We got a lot of faith in Joe. It's just the way that it played out.
When you drop back to pass more than 60 times, you're going to get knocked down. And the Browns had three sacks and seven quarterback hits.
It's third down and nine. The Bengals at their own 12. Four down linemen for the Browns. They send a fifth rusher. Burrow has the ball stripped out of his hand by Myles Garrett.
Wow.
The Cleveland Browns recover at the one-yard line.
Wow. I mean, that's an unbelievable play by Myles Garrett.
Burrow insisted after the game that the hits didn't bother him. And in fact, he heaped praise on the Bengals' offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I have great people around me. O-line, you know, I think played very, very well tonight, considering we threw the ball 60 times and, you know, the defense knew that we were going to have to throw the ball because they were scoring a lot. They did a hell of a job for me, and I'm proud of those guys.
While the Bengals' offensive success was limited to the short passing game, Cleveland had balance.
First and 10, Cleveland at the Cincinnati 43-yard line. Offset eye behind Baker Mayfield, who's under center. Takes the snap from Treader. Fakes a handoff, bootlegs to the left. Squares his shoulders, throws a deep ball. It is caught by Odell Beckham Jr. for a touchdown. He beat Will Jackson. And he hauls in the throw from Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield threw for 219 yards, and the Browns ran for 215 more, averaging 6.1 yards per attempt.
First and goal from the one. Mayfield under center. Hunt behind him. Faker takes the snap, gives it to Kareem Hunt, and he will run into the end zone.
Wow. That's discouraging, to say the least. They just ran the football right down the collective throats of the Bengals defense.
The Bengals were last in the NFL at stopping the run last year, allowing 148 rushing yards per game. So far this year, they're giving up an average of 185. Here's DJ Reader on what's needed to stop the run.
Want to, man. You got to want to do it. I think that's the biggest thing. I think we talk about it, but you got to be about it in this league. You know, you can talk about a lot of things, but you got to go out there and be about them. And I think that's collectively as a group, everybody starts in my room with me and everybody in my room. So we got to get that. I got to get that corrected. So my job is to stop the run. Our job is to stop the run. Like, so that's what we got to do. I know it's what's got to come up and what's got to get done no matter what. You know, we can, whoever's there, we can put my son there, anybody, whoever's there, it's got to get stopped. There's no excuse for it.
Do you feel like the tenacity? I mean, it sounds like the tenacity that you think is required is just lacking right now on that side of the ball. Is that an accurate statement?
You know, I think we just got to do things in a better light. You know, culture change. We're trying to bring a winning culture to this team, and I don't think we've had that before. So now you're working on that, and I think that's what comes with it. There's a tough lump that comes with it, but there's no excuses for it. You got to want to win. If you're not this pissed off at the game you just lost and gave up 200 yards rushing, then it's not right. Like, you got to want to win. This hurts. It's tough to win this league. Week to week, it's real tough. So you got to want to do it. You got to put your mindset to it every day, day in and day out.
How long does it take to build a culture, DJ?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I have no idea. But it's done collectively. It's not done just one person. It starts. But I think everybody's got that. I think this little loss hurt a lot of people. I think to the core it hurt. You can see it. So I think collectively you got to want as a group to make a change. I mean, that's the same battle we're battling in this world, right? Like, to change the culture, you got to collectively, everybody want to make a change.
The bottom line, a 35-30 loss and an 0-2 start for the second straight year. Here's Burrow.
Losing isn't very fun. You know, this might be the only time in my sporting career that I've lost two games in a row. Doesn't feel very good. I know guys in there are hurting. We're going to come back to work tomorrow and try to get this thing right. You know, losing is unacceptable to me, to everybody in there, to Coach Taylor, to everybody in this organization. So we're just going to have to get it fixed.
Joe, you talked about, having to adjust to losing, which is something you haven't really done a whole lot of in your career. What's that mental adjustment been like for you in having to adapt to just not having the success you're accustomed to?
I'll never adjust or accept losing. That's just something that's not in my mindset. So this 0-2 starts really hurting me. I know it's hurting Coach and everybody in there. We'll never adjust to losing. We'll never accept losing. We're just going to have to get it right.
Now time to bring in my broadcast partner, Dave Lapham, for postgame analysis. Well, Lap, we witnessed an NFL record on Thursday night. Most pass completions by a rookie quarterback, 37 by Joe Burrow, one more than Chris Wenke, who completed 36 back in 2001. The 61 pass attempts, second most in a game by a rookie quarterback. Chris Wenke still has that mark with 63. That's all good, but it's too many attempts. Joe Burrow cannot throw the ball 61 times and survive a 16-game NFL season.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, even, you know, he's young, he's strong, he thinks he's invincible, but it's the National Football League. At some point in time, those hits are going to catch up to you. And the thing is, it's like, it's so hard. Nothing's coming easy to this offense. 61 pass attempts. They only had one explosive, one chunk play, 23-yard touchdown pass to C.J. Uzama. You know, they averaged less than 6 yards an attempt on 61 passes. That's just so hard. 88 snaps to score the 30 points. That's crazy. 5 for 5 on fourth down. You know, they can't generate a first down on three downs. They have to go fourth down. And God bless them, they executed it and got it done.
Best team of the league on fourth down.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. They ran 30 more snaps than the opponent in that football game. And still, I don't think I've ever seen a game where the losing team ran 30 more plays than the winning football team. I can't remember that. I can't remember that happening. That's almost incomprehensible to me.
Nick Chubb, 22 carries, 124 yards. Kareem Hunt, 10 carries, 86 yards. And worst of all, when the game was on the line, after the Bengals had scored a touchdown to pull back within one score, the Browns stuffed it right down their throat with nothing but runs on a 75-yard drive.
That's just saying that's an offensive lineman's dream, actually. When you can do that, you just, hey, you know, we're better than you tonight. We're going to come off the line of scrimmage. We're going to knock you around, and we're going to take the ball down the field and stuff it in the end zone. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, that's just an unbelievable feeling for an offensive line. This game had so many different things to it. I don't think I've ever seen plays that were initially ruled touchdowns that were brought back to the half-yard line, and then goal line stands as a result of it. One of them, the Bengals have a goal line stand, four downs worth, and then they fumble it right back to the 1 yard line, and then they have a goal line stand against them. I've never seen as many goal line snaps from the 1 yard line, I think, as I saw tonight. It's unbelievable.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because there were two plays where touchdowns were overturned at the 1 yard line, one for the Browns, one for the Bengals. What's up with the NFL Network not having a camera at the goal line? I don't think either of those touchdowns should have been taken off the board, because the angle was not even with the goal line. Where's the pylon cam? Where's a camera on a cart right at the goal line for that situation? I don't understand, in a nationally televised Thursday night football game, how they cannot have that.
I think we saw it one time. Didn't we see one down the goal line that one time on one of them? And it's like, where did it go after that? I remember them shooting something right down the goal line. I think it might have been on Hunt's when he was, like, you know, a little bit short. I'm like, where's that been? You know, and maybe they didn't think that the ball was on the wrong side of the body. You know, like, if they went right down the goal line, they couldn't tell anything anyway because the body's covering the ball up. I don't know. But, I mean, the fact is, when you're on a little bit of a slash, I don't care, 45 is steep, but even if it's less than 45-degree angle, it distorts everything so much. I mean, to me, it's almost like it has to be indisputable to reverse it. And I'm not sure, you know, if they didn't reverse all of them, it probably would have had the same outcome. It would have just added points to both clubs. This football team is trying as hard as they possibly can. They're competing as hard as they can. They're just coming up short. I mean, they're not making enough big plays at critical times to close out football games, making too many mistakes, you know, at inopportune times. I mean, you know, the fumble that Joe has, the only turnover of the night, the fumble that Joe has gives him the ball at the 1 yard line. You can't have a shorter field than the 1 yard line going in to score, you know, and penalties at inopportune times, assignment mistakes, missed tackles. I mean, the tackling against the Chargers was encouraging. Tonight, discouraging. I mean, and at some point, complimentary football has to start take a hold. I mean, the offense struggled mightily against the Chargers. Defense stepped up and played well. 16 points win you a lot of games. Well, the next week, if you score 30, should win you a lot of games offensively. The defense gives up 35, so they're playing uncomplimentary or non-complimentary football at this point, anything but complimentary.
Let's talk about DJ Reader's post-game comments, because they were interesting. When asked about the run defense, he talked about you need the want to, and then talked about the need for a culture change on defense. The man has been here for two games, a lot of Zoom calls in the offseason, abbreviated training camp. What's he seeing about the culture on defense that he doesn't like?
Well, he's seen what it's supposed to look like in Houston, and he's not liking what he sees here right now. You know, I don't know if it's like he said, when 75 yards all running plays, he said they're coming up to the line of scrimmage saying, I'm better than you. I'm going to whoop you, you know, and he's not used to having that being accepted or whatever the case may be. It's like, you know, you just got to rise up and play, and you just can't let those kind of things happen. And I mean, honestly, it'll get better when Geno Atkins and Daniels come back into the three-man rotation at defensive tackle. But in the meanwhile, it's next man up. You're getting paid. It's the National Football League. Hit your gap, play your responsibility, you know, and just tackle people. Get them on the ground. It is. It's will. It's want to. It's desire. I mean, man, Chubb and Hunt are good football players, but at times they made the Bengals look ridiculous.
Joe Burrow had similar comments at the end of his post-game Zoom conference with reporters. I will never adjust to losing. I will never accept losing.
Interesting. I heard Andy Dalton say the same things. Andy Dalton, I remember him saying, never lost two games in a row. Joe Burrow, never lost two games in a row in any athletic endeavor. I remember vividly when Andy Dalton said it, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. In any sport, basketball, baseball, football, never in your athletic career did you lose two in a row. And Joe Burrow said the same thing. Man, these guys have been blessed, you know. And so they know what it's supposed to look like. They know what to do to get it there, hopefully. And got to get it turned around. I mean, the 2-16 now, and they're 0-10 in games decided by 8 points or less. So normally you win half of those. They've lost every one of them. And got to figure out a way to get that turned around because, you know, it becomes a tough thing. At the end of the football game, it's like, instead of like, who's going to make the play? It ends up, I don't want to make the mistake. I don't want to be the one. I mean, your mind is such a powerful thing. And you start getting in that mentality, that mindset, man, it's hard to drag yourself out of it. So it's good that they've got guys that have come from organizations and schools where, you know, they're so used to winning that this is so foreign to them and they're never going to accept it. It's a bad taste they never want to have in their mouth ever, you know, for any period of time. Hopefully they'll get the culture turned around.
Another successful night or game for Baker Mayfield against the Bengals. He came in with a career passer rating of 100.5 in his four previous starts against Cincinnati, 110.6 on Thursday night with a pair of touchdowns. I gave the stat sometime during the game lap, and if I'm a Bengals fan, this one really annoys me. 4-1, head-to-head against the Bengals, 9-17 against everybody else.
It's incredible. I don't know if it's the striped helmets, what it is, but man, he definitely, it's like Marvin Lewis against the Cleveland Browns when he was head coach. His winning record against the Cleveland Browns was unbelievable, and maybe not as unbelievable against everybody else. It's like now Baker Mayfield's experiencing the same type of thing in this rivalry in the state of Ohio, the Battle of Ohio. But, yeah, they did a great job of getting him comfortable with these bootlegs. And the thing that was frustrating, it had to be frustrating as hell to the coaches, defensive coaches, because you knew they were going to bootleg him. I mean, they all the talk all week was he may be too short, you know, he may not be able to see. Well, the only way to alleviate that problem is to change the launch point, get him out of pocket. So you had to be not even paying attention to anything that was coming out of Cleveland to think that they weren't going to bootleg him and naked bootleg him, and, you know, to his left, to his right, didn't matter, throwing the ball down the field, big plays, chunk plays. Then he got comfortable, and it was a good game plan. A good game plan. He ran a lot of bootlegs off of play action. And play action, when you're running the ball for ultimately over 200 yards, play action's effective. You know, you got to stop the run first.
0-2 is obviously discouraging, but Joe Burrow is getting a lot of praise from LeBron James and others for his toughness and resiliency. He got knocked down a bunch. I don't know how many times he was hit in the course of this game. I do know that after the strip sack, the hit that he took was from Porter Gustin was a hit that knocks out some quarterbacks. I mean, lifted off the ground and driven to the turf. That could have been a penalty, but he keeps getting up, keeps slinging the ball, 61 attempts. I am feeling good about the Bengals' franchise quarterback going forward.
Yeah, I like that about him. He got ear-holed one time by a defensive lineman after throwing the football that wasn't called. Officials took their eyes off of that. He did. He got knocked around quite a bit. And then the other part of it is in two games, at the end of the first game, at halftime of this game, and the end of this game, three times takes him on drives at the end of the football game and scores points on every one of them except the one last week that could have tied the game and put it into overtime, or game-winning touchdown pass to A.J. Green that was taken off the board. So I'm telling you, this guy, when the chips are down, when you have to make plays, when you have to move the football team, when it's like no margin for error, might take four downs, may have to go to Tyler Boyd on fourth down or whatever, but he gets it done. He gets it done, and that's very encouraging, man. Be able to do that three times in two football games, now you're talking something special.
He's getting hit. The other team's quarterback isn't. The absence of Geno Atkins is obviously a factor, but the pass rush has been pretty non-existent in the first two games.
Yeah, it really has, and you know, that's where turnovers come from. You know, I mean, it's the hand fits the glove when the defensive line's you know, getting pressure on the quarterback. Just like, I mean, Miles Garrett made a great play. Pressures, reaching, you know, strip sack, those kind of things take place. I think, honestly, more times than not, the quarterback's more vulnerable in the pocket than he is out of the pocket, because he can see more things and get down and all that sort of thing. When you're in the pocket, you're more defenseless in the pocket in a lot of cases. So turnovers will happen, and, you know, pressure making him throw the football before he wants to, interceptions. I mean, it all falls in line. And if the quarterback has too much time to survey and receivers have too much time to get open, you ain't going to cut it in the NFL. You can't cover those guys for that length of time. You can't give the quarterback that much time to look downfield and dissect what you're doing. I mean, it's a losing proposition, period.
We'll have much more on the game on the Bengals Pep Rally Show Friday from 3 to 6 on ESPN 1530. That's going to do it for this episode of the Bengals Booth Podcast, brought to you by Prime Sport, the official hospitality partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe. And if you have a minute, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more Bengals fans find this podcast. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.